Next item. Last item.
Last item. So I'm going to offer two. I'm going to offer an option of go straight to questions. It's the last item is item 14. It's the enforcement report. Today's last item. Or I can do a bit of a run through.
So I have two speaker card for item 14, and the challenge if we do, I want to make sure we don't shortchange the couple of folks if they were, you know, on this particular item. You know, I have a speaker card from Abby and also Kay. We're requesting 6 minutes.
And why don't we go straight to speaker cards?
Let's do that. So jointly, you have 6 minutes.
Abby Taylor Silva with the Grower Shipper Association of Central California.
And I'm Kay Mercer with KMI.
So we wanted to speak to you about the NOVs that are noticed in your staff report. And in that, there are 1,028 ranches that received NOVs at the end of the year through the end of December. And these were for failing to submit groundwater monitoring results. And as we understand, but it's not noted in the staff report, there were also other NOVs issued related to irrigated lands. We don't see them here, but I believe the list is actually longer. But it's also important to note that Kay and I don't necessarily know all the details about what those are about. NOVs aren't something that people come to us and regularly talk about. It's kind of something that's a more of a private business matter. We just happen to have a little bit of background on them because there have been so many that have been issued. So we wanted to share some feedback with you that some of these look like they might have been sent in error, and Kay has a specific example.
Right. So we don't know all of the different categories of the NOVs that were sent, and I also received an email from Chris basically saying they expect to send more. The groundwater NOVs that were sent to growers doing individual sampling. And then they're receiving a list. This is what I understand, a list from CCGC, the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition, and from there they may issue additional NOVs. So some of the examples I have with clients that receive groundwater NOVs was they're in areas and they grow crops with a lot of lease turnover, so they're very transitory. And we had extensive discussion before the board and at grower meetings about how to handle these sorts of transitory situations. So rather than terminating ranches and re-enrolling them, essentially they would zero out the acreage. And some of my clients received NOVs because they zeroed out the acreage. So they weren't farming the piece of property, so they couldn't take the samples. But then they received the NOV. But they did what they were told to do, which was to zero out the acreage. So this is an example of someone who got an NOV that maybe shouldn't have.
So your staff report has definitions of all the different notices that they might have sent out. And so under notice of violations, it reads, the NOV letter is the most significant level of enforcement action and should be used. Well, I don't know if I have a significant level of informal enforcement action and should be used only where a violation has actually occurred. But as you see, we have reason to believe that some of these were issued and an actual violation didn't occur. And so the takeaway that we're a little bit concerned about is, are these going to stay in the permanent record of these different people? And what is the grower or landowner's opportunity to have that NOV letter removed from their file? And I think Kay has an example about the CCGC.
Right. My understanding is CCGC will rescind. Once one of their members receives a notice and they make the correction, that NOV will be rescinded from their file. However, for growers that are doing individual sampling, they won't have the same thing. The notice of a violation, even if it was sent in error, will remain in their file.
So that's a concern we'd love to just get feedback on. Additionally, we have an ask of you, a kind of a communication ask. So So these letters have created some concern among the people we work with locally, but it's also important to note that there are many landowners who live thousands of miles outside of our community who don't quite understand these, and in some cases, as we've noted, we think they were in error. And that's causing some distress for those parties. And also, I would imagine for the regional board staff, because you're receiving a lot of phone calls about all of this, and people trying to determine why this NOV was issued. So we're just here to partly saying we'd really like to work with you and staff on kind of refining the communication before the NOVs are issued. And I think that there could be opportunities with staff members of the operations to do so.
So one of the things I talked to Leah Lemoyne about, so administratively, how can we make sure that maybe people within organizations, some of the communication issues actually reside within the growers' organizations. So people that may be working on ag waiver or water quality regulations may not be advised because the operator, who's the responsible party, is the one that's on the NOV. So the question I have, is there any way to put secondary contacts on the NOV? And at this point in time, no. The only thing that can be done is you can add the email of the secondary contact in an email. There's an email field, but they will only receive blanket general communications. They won't receive these operation-specific communications, and I do have clients that have received NOVs because of the lack of internal communication, and it would be great if we could figure out some way to either amend the NOI so secondary contacts can be put on there. So, you know, I talked about what if a client is out of country and there's a time-sensitive matter. There's no one to respond.
That's all we have for you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Before answering those, I have one more question. And with individual farmers who take their own samples, and you know, they may have a third party taking the sample on their behalf, have you heard of any issue from the lab perhaps not sending the information? Because you know, you take the sample, you have a third party, it's taking to the lab, but you're totally codependent on the lab to electronically send the information to the water board. And many growers, once they take the sample, they paid, they get the invoice, and it's like, okay, I'm good, and then they get, you know, a copy of the result, but it's not always assurance, well, did the regional board receive the information? Do we know if the labs have excellent track record in submitting the information?
So Angela can probably respond to this also, but I do know of some situations early last year where laboratories were having difficulty uploading to GeoTracker. It wasn't that they weren't trying to load. It was that they were having difficulty making that upload. And then secondarily, I have one client. I'm not involved with these NOVs, and I'm not talking to them about the NOVs because another consultant actually took them. But my understanding is they were uploaded, but for some reason didn't register. So this is another example of an NOV that was probably given in error because the information was there for some reason, and it didn't appear that it was.
I'm talking about the chain of custody, and
right.
I think that's an important part. Is you know the lab also, you know,
part of it? Yeah,
part of it. Any input on that?
Sure, I can provide some additional background and then attempt to answer Kay and Abby's questions. So just a reminder, the Ag Order 3.0 requires groundwater monitoring reporting of all domestic wells and the primary irrigation well. That's the exact same requirement that was required as part of Ag Order 2.0. So the two samples have to be collected, and the first sample must be collected in between March and June. The next part of the requirement is that within 60 days of sampling, you must actually, the lab must complete the report upload to GeoTracker. So if you took your sample in June, for example, then you'd have July and August. So in we did our compliance evaluation at the end of August and beginning of September. So we allowed the 60 days to go through. And actually, I would say for a program that regulates 4,300 ranches, we were able to do this automated compliance evaluation in GeoTracker pretty quickly. And we did identify about 1,000 ranches that had not submitted any data.
So, Angela, if I can jump in here. So 4,300 ranches, so the, with respect to those that don't have groundwater data, that's about a 75% compliance rate, or 25% that are potentially receiving NOVs.
Right. And in comparison to 2.0, that's actually a very high rate of compliance, because if you remember in 2.0, we got to 90% compliance in year three or four. So within 6 months, or not even 6 months, 60 days of the requirement being due, we had a 75% compliance rate. Nonetheless, there were about 1,000 ranches where we determined there was no data submitted and issued those NOVs. I should back up a little bit and say prior to, while the sampling was to be occurring, we did send three email reminders to growers that the groundwater monitoring requirement was in process pending, and it was the reports were going to be due within 60 days of the sample. Chris Rose also routinely sends email reminders to the technical assistance providers. I can't recall in this case if he did. I would assume he did because he generally does that. Since the time that we sent out the NOVs, and we sent them out between October and late November, actually 700 of those ranches have already come into compliance. So we've seen where they were missing data, and now we actually have the data submitted. And in some cases, Dr. Wolf, you're right. It was it looks like the data was collected prior to the NOV, but then the upload happened after the NOV. So in that case, the data was submitted. And then we're making that note in the GeoTracker record.
So I'm going to catch us up in compliance now. We're in the low 90% percentage for groundwater compliance now.
But then to follow through on that, which kind of echoes a little bit what was said earlier, the lab, there was a lag time, but meantime the NOV has been submitted. You know, I mean, is that irreversible as a record?
Well, what we've been doing is to double-check to make sure that the sample was collected during the compliance period and the data was reported within the 60 days. And in those cases, we are making a documentation record in GeoTracker that the data was submitted in a timely manner. That's not a gross amount of them. There are a subset of those that for which that occurred. There is the issue of whether or not someone was a Central Coast Groundwater Coalition member. And so those members, if you might recall, were afforded additional time to comply. So that compliance, we basically pulled that subset out and did not run that compliance. We said, this is only an evaluation of the individuals. It was determined in that process that for some reason, some of the members of the CCGC were not identified in GeoTracker, and actually it was for two. And so those are an area where we do plan to rescind the NOV because they were actual members that was not documented properly in GeoTracker, and they were issued an NOV. So in those cases, that was a water board error. So we're looking into rescinding those. But again, it's only at this point two people that we've identified that happened. CCGC has identified their own issues in terms of their own membership accounting. So, for example, a wrong AGL was in the membership record that they transmitted to us, and so we didn't connect the two dots in GeoTracker, or a grower forgot to add a ranch. So they bought a new ranch, forgot to add it to their membership. That ranch was issued an NOV. So in those cases, we are documenting those issues, and we're waiting for this updated membership list for the CCGC. In this case, it was a CCGC error generally, and we are just documenting to that in GeoTracker that they will submit the data. by December of this year. Regarding the communication about having an authorized user or another email account, that's not currently the way that ENOI is set up. And during the initial years of the ag order, there was actually some reluctance of growers to have a lot of people on their ENOI. But there actually is a standard way in GeoTracker where growers can identify an authorized representative. And so there is that.
Okay, then I'll give you a call to find out how to do that. I mean, we want to prevent mistakes from happening in the future. I mean, one of the things Abby and I are considering is whether we need to write some template response letters to the NOVs where NOVs maybe were issued in error, so that growers can put these in their files if the NOV that was issued in error is not going to be removed from the file. We want an explanation of why that's there, but it's just, you know, more work for us. So unless we can figure out, you know, and if it's needed, we'll do it. If there's another way to address this, then that would be great. It'd be one less thing to do.
Well, I think if the NOV is issued in error, we just rescind the NOV. We take it out of their record.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I don't think they should have an accurate record.
Okay.
Well, I guess it goes to the definition of issued in error. Is it if the sample was taken in the accurate period of time, but for whatever reason not uploaded by the lab, is that part of that definition?
Or in the case of if, you know, when we're talking about enrollment in the ag waiver, and on the ENOI, what was happening is Preservation, Inc. was having a very difficult time sending out the invoices with growers terminating and re-enrolling. So the decision, the most efficient way, was for a grower not to terminate the ranch but just zero out the acres. Now the growers are asking, should we also zero out our wells when they're not on the... Okay, so Angela says, no, that's kind of what I figured, too. And so we had NOVs that were issued because they zeroed out the acres. They weren't actively on that ranch at the time of the compliance requirement.
So in response to that, I would say that's an important question in terms of what the issue was, right? If it's an issue of a forgotten enrollment, I'd say that's not a waterboard error. Certainly the grower can come into compliance, and that clears up the violation, right? And then we're finished.
But it's not a forgotten. It's an
I'm just saying that's an easy example. Of an easy one where that's not necessarily a waterboard error. In all cases, we've attempted to where growers have indicated that I'm not on this ranch or I'm not farming. We're trying to document that on the GeoTracker file. However, the issue does have to be evaluated as to whether or not that ranch is in compliance, whether or not it's that operator, right? So remember, these NOVs went to landowners and operators. So we're looking to see if that well has been sampled in compliance with the order. Whether or not that particular operator was the one responsible for it is something that we have to investigate. But in order to determine compliance, we have to fully evaluate and see if that well was in fact sampled because someone was there, right?
The tenant should have... And, you know, the tenant at the time should have amended his acres, and maybe that didn't happen.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But we don't want to see that operator who was there on the time but not on the
right.
property.
Right. So it's just a matter of connecting all the dots between the landowner and the two operators. But all of these things can be documented in GeoTracker as a response to the NOV, right? And so if there's a valid response, the well comes into compliance for that ranch, then our waterboard follow-up is done. But again, I would say that we haven't, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of phone calls. Most of the phone calls have been, I don't understand the requirement, how do I come into compliance, right? And we say, call the lab, come into compliance. The issues that you're describing, I agree that we need to resolve them, but they're not for a large amount of the population.
And Mike has a question.
Yeah, it strikes me that what I'm hearing from Angela is that if it was a waterboard error, we're rescinding the NOV. If there's some other logical explanation other than waterboard error, we're just entering documentation. It strikes me that if it was, whether or not it was a waterboard error, if an operator got an NOV and the operator had zeroed out the acreage, they should have the letter rescinded. It strikes me that if the operator appropriately had the sample taken and submitted it to a lab that that's on our list in the time allowed, and the lab didn't submit it, that's not our error, but I would still see, once that's documented and the data's in, rescinding that NOV. I don't see any downside to that. It was not the operator's error. And I would see if there was an error on the part of the CCGC in what they gave us, and we dinged an operator who was actually a member of the CCGC under the individual monitoring timelines, then that's not that operator's error. Now, if that operator, I don't know, if the operator didn't, if there's an error on the part of the operator and then it gets corrected, I think it's fine to just say our response is we'll enter documentation. But if the error wasn't, and I realize that it may be that data still didn't come in and we have to go after the landowner, and maybe the landowner says, well, this other person was the operator, whatever. But I don't think that we should have a problem with, even if it wasn't our error, with rescinding an NOV if we're satisfied that to the operator at least, if we're satisfied that the operator did what they were supposed to do.
So I hear what you're saying. And I will say that's inconsistent with all other programs in sense of obligation. So we just did the landfill program update. So the landfills are obliged to submit the data, and it could come by way of their labs, but they don't achieve compliance until the data comes by way of their labs. So the obligation is on the individual to ensure that the process is the data is getting to the water board, to GeoTracker.
We
can work with them.
We have a process to designate which labs they're allowed to submit through.
Yes, so we do have a list of qualified laboratories. And qualified means that they have the ability and have demonstrated success in submitting the data.
Well, I also want to not overstate the scale of that problem. Labs are incredibly efficient at delivering the data from their stores to GeoTracker.
Right.
Incredibly efficient at this.
And but it sounds like there were at least some instances where the data was submitted to the lab and the lab didn't submit it timely to us. Is that correct, Angela?
Well, the requirement is to sample within a certain time period and then to upload the data within 60 days of sampling. And so the last possible date you could have sampled is June, the last day of June. In some cases, the lab was negligent in making that 60-day time period. And so the grower got it sampled. They report the lab, the lab did the analyses, but the laboratory just had maybe a large throughput, right? A lot of clients, and just didn't get the data uploaded to GeoTracker in a timely manner.
Was that all one lab?
No. What happened, you can imagine, right, with 4,000 plus ranches, everyone waited to the last second. And they had this huge push in June, trying to get the results, and then they were processing, and they just couldn't get it uploaded in time. There, I wouldn't say it's a common issue, but it was an issue that we had seen a few times.
Yeah, from an implementation point of view, to support what Angela was saying, remember we adopted 4.0 in March, which was we were already into the March to June sampling time frame, and honestly, I know my clients were scrambling to meet that June 31st sampling time frame. So, yes, the laboratories did sort of heroic last-minute work in a lot of cases.
But, I I hear you about, you know, the example of landfills, you know, big you know, 84 landfills versus, you know, several thousand lab tests. Intuitively, it doesn't seem right when the responsibility was from, you know, from somebody else. And I would say growers probably are pretty sensitive when they get a letter from, you know, the water board saying, you're in violation. I mean, it wasn't me, it was the lab. Well, too bad, you know. Just talk to them, ask to get your money back. Well, you still end up with a record. So I, you know, I understand the issue of being fair and consistent, but you have a consistency, but the fairness is not there of, you know, having someone else that just can do their job.
So is there a way that we can note that as a one-time reprieve in the file, that given the time considerations and the fact that in March it was 3.0, not 4.0, we're not there yet.
oh, about that.
<It's okay. laughs> But that there's some sort of acknowledgement of maybe the time pressure that was associated with that, just to give it some context.
So that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay.
In terms of documentation in the record, is that we're writing basically, and this is for efficiency, right? Remember that we're dealing with hundreds of growers. We're noting in the record that data was collected during the time period, grower called to confirm compliance, and we've confirmed the sample was received, you know, so they're now into compliance per the NOV. And I would say from almost everyone I have talked to, with the exception of maybe a couple, they're completely satisfied with that response. They want it documented in the record that they're now in compliance.
So the letters, the NOV letters, go to the landowner and the operator. And, of course, you know, they're both liable and responsible. But when an NOV is settled, there's no letter that comes out sort of explaining what happened or no sense of closure. And what we're seeing, you know, the initial response from the landowner to the operator is, you're not doing your job. I'm going to find another landowner. And land is really tight. Growers are very afraid of losing their lease. And then there's no closure. So the landowners now have a disproportionate sense of alarm because no closure is occurring after the NOV is resolved.
Just a response to that, and I wanted to share an example from a different program like landfills or even the site cleanup program, is in all the other programs, you can go on to GeoTracker and type in the global ID for that site, and it'll actually just say when the well was sampled. So that we could have visibility, and that's one of the things we're evaluating, is to make sure that if there are areas where the landowner, for example, would benefit from having the record available, just like for the other programs, that is an opportunity. Unfortunately, because we've operated a little bit differently for irrigated lands, they don't have that benefit of being able to see that that land is in compliance.
Can the operator view his own GeoTracker data?
Yes, and so we've been advising growers to print out the note that we're putting into GeoTracker and to print out a copy of the results and to send that to whoever it is they need to communicate that to.
And so what I'll do, and Abby will probably do the same thing, is we'll send out a notice to our clients and constituents and say and advise them to do exactly that.
So there is a way. It's just a first encounter. This is not generally aware that GeoTracker has these different features, including being responsive through GeoTracker. Okay. So it sounds like I think this is probably true for all programs, the monitoring programs. There's always going to be that small percentage of really unique situations that went wacky. And for your clients, Kay, and more broadly, for Abby, your work, helping to get the word out, and then making sure that the ones that are still sitting in the corner with an unresolved NOV, that they understand what their options are. And I think probably everybody, though, probably by now understands they can call staff, and as Angela said, they got hundreds of calls and they did deal with people.
Many of the landowners that are receiving the NOVs aren't, a lot of them aren't even on the Central Coast. You know, they have never even heard the term ag waiver, to be honest. They're French holding companies and
churches and banks and
retirement companies,
yes,
many
yeah.
generation families, yeah,
trusts
and things like that. So they get these and they don't know how to put them in perspective, right? And that's really what we're dealing with, because it's a new program and these are new systems, and we're really here to say, what can we do to help our growers and how can we improve communication? That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I don't know how the language of the NOV, you know, puts forward what the situation is, what the problem is. And is there a difference between the letter that goes to the landowner and the letter that goes to the operator?
The letter reads it's actually going to the operator and a copy is going to the landowner. And it basically says, you missed your sample. You can resolve this NOV by taking your sample and reporting it to the water board within X period of time. It's pretty standard language.
And so would it be possible to add just some additional information, generic, to landowners to let them know they have the same ability to inquire about the status of the resolution? I mean, you know, here's what I'm getting at. This went out, 1,200 went out, 700 complied. So of the 700, some were actually in compliance with a time lag at the lab. Probably they're going to figure out doing it June 31st is not the best idea, hopefully. And that gets to Jane's one-time, you know, kind of, okay, we understand this kind of created this bottleneck. But I'm thinking that maybe recognizing that you have out-of-state or out-of-area landowners, to put a little more context in there, that the program is that there are several opportunities for getting status information on the resolution of this, and that frequently a phone call, you know, these issues are resolved. In other words, describing that sometimes these NOVs are resolved very quickly. So to give the landowner a sense that this is not a determination that this is a recalcitrant lessee, you know. So to put in something there that, you know, often these are resolved in a rapid manner with a phone call, or have the operator reviews GeoTracker data and make sure it's up to date. Something along those lines, so that landowners have an idea that these letters are going out. Yes, they are notice of violation, but that the resolution is often something very simple, maybe a statement or two along those lines.
Well, I was going to add to that, Monica, because you just finally touched on, I think, what the solution is.
Yeah.
So it's going to the operators, not the landowners. The landowners know nothing.
Right.
They get this in the mail, and they're really in the dark,
right,
and they're troubled by it. So there should be some language in here telling the operator, and it's really telegraphing it to the landowners who are reading it, that when this issue is resolved, we will upload something to GeoTracker. And that way, the landowners are going to see, well, there's a way to get... There is a way that resolution is going to be documented, and thereby, when the operator has resolved this issue, can then print out whatever's on GeoTracker and send it to the landowner. But I think that kind of closes the loop that you started to shape. Yeah. I think you do it.
I look at my left. Any other thoughts, suggestions?
No.
I still think that, as was suggested by Jane, that given the circumstances, 4,300, we passed this waiver already in the testing period. I don't have any trouble if the lab failed was overwhelmed and failed to deliver in time, and the operator did what the waiver called for them to do. I don't have any trouble with rescinding, and if we need to say that we're not setting a precedent here, then we do that. That's my thought. But I mean, I realize this is a report and not an action item, but.
But it's important, and I'm glad we spend the time on this, because it gets back to the issue of fairness and good communication, because indeed some of these letters goes, there's probably one letter going to the Hartford trust fund. In fact, I'm pretty sure of that. Probably are going to look at that and say, oh, my God, you're in trouble here in California. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it has ramifications, and maybe it's a little extra work this time. But, part of it, particularly with the issue of the labs, we're the one who put the growers, the farmers in, in this short window. So I agree with the suggestions that was made here. Yes.
Given Michael's suggestion, this could happen every time, right? Because you always have a push toward the end.
Well, no.
So I think we need to be clear that it's a reprieve that's, extended once.
Right.
Now.
Okay. So, but human nature is you get around to it when you have to get around to it. So the next time they're required to send in some results or some to the lab, couldn't we expect there to be a congestion just like this?
The difference is this was in the first few months of an order that we passed in March, and so they were supposed to be doing the testing like immediately.
Right,
that was the difference.
So I have no problem giving some kind of a retroactive grace period, but there I think there should be some communication that this could happen again, and try to get your samples in a little before you might otherwise because of the roadblock or the congestion that happens.
Well, it can be phrased that this is a one-time retrieve and with the explanation, and then we move on.
And that our normal procedure, which will follow in the future, is if we find, is that once it's corrected, that gets noted in the record, and whether, if it wasn't the operator's fault or whatever, that gets noted in the record. I think this was an unusual situation.
Yeah, I don't think this is an ongoing practice, and we just need to make it clear in the language that it's not, there's not an ongoing tolerance for that.
And I like Monica and Jeff's suggestion as well in terms of the letter, understanding that the letter has two completely different audiences, the landowner and the grower, and the letter, I think we could craft that letter to speak to both of them.
Mr. Chairman. Hi.
Yes, Michael. From, I haven't heard from you today. So.
Yes, yeah. For last.
Yeah. So I just wanted to jump in here and say that while the situation might be unusual, the argument that there were extenuating circumstances is not unusual. We hear that every time we send out NOVs, every time there is an enforcement action, and we have to be very careful about reacting to it. You open the door and say, if you claim this, you get a reprieve. You're going to get a bunch of those claims. So I would suggest that you not act today. Let the executive officer investigate what actually happened here, how much notice was given by the program staff before these NOVs went out, and that you get a fuller picture of what happened, and then consider any changes that need to be made. Because you're not getting a full picture right now. You're reacting to a narrow license information.
I would just say that the message is not, if you claim this, that this is what happened. The message would be, if you document that you did everything that you were required to do under the order, and it was the lab's error or the CCGC's error to not include this parcel, or you zeroed out the acreage and we didn't catch that, that if you did everything that you that we told you to do and document that, then that's, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Not just if you make some claim, but...
Additionally, there's such a thing as the chain of custody. Okay, the samples have to be documented. You have to write the date. You have to put the name. You have to put the, you know, the location of the well. So there is a documentation when the sample was taken, and then subsequently, you know, the delays from the lab to provide the information in a timely fashion. So it's not hearsaying.
It may or may not be. We already have a process where we rescind letters, NOVs, when they should be rescinded. Rescind has a legal meaning. It means it should never have been issued in the first place. So we do rescind NOVs or other letters that we issue, you know, investigative orders, things like that. So there is a process for doing that. I'm cautioning you to not overreact to a piece of information without seeing the larger picture and set in motion a chain of events that is going to be a lot of staff work to follow up on that may not be necessary. We could look into it. The EO could get back to you after talking to staff about what happened and what the variables are with a recommendation.
Well, we can't take action on anything right now. All we can do is to give some direction, right, Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, this is a report, but we certainly can express our potential solutions here. We're not saying you shall do, but frankly, I think, you know, I mean, this is not overreacting. I won't go into detail, but I'm a grower, okay? And I have had situations like this one. Thank goodness I caught it on time. And I don't want to be conflicting myself by, well, you're a grower, but mistakes have happened with labs. Let me put it that way. And there is also legitimacy in the clarification between landowners and operators. I don't think that's precedential. The whole ag order business also is an evolution process. You know, we learn from what we do and we tweak it. So I don't think we're overreacting. If anything, I think we're looking at it with fairness, and you know, it's not contentious. We're just trying to do what's fair.
I would recognize that there is some stuff that staff may not know at this moment. For example, how widespread the situation was that Kay referenced an example of, that may have been the only example, or there may have been a bunch of them, where a grower zeroed out acres and was still still got an NOV. We don't know the scale of any of these things. So, I mean, I think that staff has heard, at least individually from us, a fair sense of where all of the how all the individual board members are looking at it. I actually don't think it's bad process to let staff talk among themselves and come back to us with this. And, you know, I don't know if it's appropriate to come back to us tomorrow or not.
So along those lines,
with a recommendation,
if I might. Yeah, what I was going to say is let us try to do a little. I don't think tomorrow's doable.
Right.
All due respect to great staff, but let us put numbers to this. So it's right now it's anecdotal. I'm not suggesting that it didn't happen. It happened, but let us dig into it and see. Is this 42? Is this 2? I'd also like to find out. Can we ascertain? Can we tease out? Sample was taken in the window, but data was not delivered in the subsequent window. How many of those happened? And then, along with providing you the information of quantification, we also say, and here's our suggested pathway or resolution for this category, or for the category where maybe they were zeroed out, the acreage was zeroed out, and yet they still got an NOV. I think that one's actually pretty cookie cutter.
Yeah, because I think
the response to that.
I think we understood going into this meeting. We all attended board briefings that, you know, staff was fairly comfortable with the way it was handled. I think you've gotten some pushback from the board, so let's hear what comes back from you. That would be my sense. I don't mind letting staff do their own process here.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, giving adequate time to review this. And, you know, it's not any different, my view, than when we have sometime a public comment, speaker card, say, hey, we have an issue, we found out. And then we don't on the fly make a decision and say, well, so let's dig into it, let's work on it. So, you know, that's where we are. So, you know, certainly want to thank both of you for, you know, bringing this to our attention.
Satisfied with the recommendation? Does that work? And clear on what it
is? Yeah,
I
was just going to say I liked what I just heard. To me, you know, we're talking about two different things. One is how to massage the NOV itself going forward in those hopefully seldom situations that this might repeat itself inadvertently, you know, down the line. But then the other issue is what to do about all these NOVs. And so I like your thought process of identifying when was the sample taken versus when was the results due versus whenever staff had sent out notices to get the information. And that, to me, is the logical way to progress and decide, you know, whether an actual rescission is
appropriate
versus just correcting the file that you're in compliance, we've got your data.
Right.
And Abby and Kay are trying to figure out how to advise their stakeholders as to how, you know, whether they should be putting together template response letters or what. So I would encourage, as staff talks about it, that you be communicating with them so they don't have to wait for the next board meeting to get at least a sense of where you guys are going on this.
Well, I was going to wrap up, at least from my perspective, you know, I think we should be working with Angela to put together some guidance to the growers to try to put things in perspective, to communicate with them, you know, how to communicate with their landowners, and then where to go to look for resolution on GeoTracker. I mean, so we need to do some work and work with Angela to get those specifics.
All right.
Just one last comment. I think it's just really important to remember that, you know, evaluating compliance, issuing notices of violation, and then coming into compliance are really routine. And at the end of the day, it's the resolution of the violation. That's the important thing. And so we're talking about how to document it and what type of correspondence to give it back and forth. But I just want, you know, to keep that in mind, that especially when we're dealing with this number of growers, any you know, complexities with how we do the interaction, I think, can get complicated really fast and result in a lot of workload for both us and the growers. And so just remember that when we come to you for a follow-up enforcement, it's going to be, are they in compliance?
So two parting comments.
We have one comment.
Monica and then
I totally agree with you, and I'm real concerned about staff effort and time to get through this one situation seems to have come up because of the timing of things. And on the part of the growers, another template letter, another explanation, another, you know, educational kind of process. But I want to recognize in the end, no one likes to have anything on their record that isn't, that, you know, that they feel truly was a system kind of thing. And I hope that in the end we do make it very apparent how to determine that you're in compliance and that the status of the initial notice was either an error or that it was issued due to a time lag and the lab missed the deadline or whatever it was. So it's very clear that a person who's intent on complying has the ability to see that. I think Kay mentioned it as no closure. That's everybody wants their day in court. If I get a ticket, I want it removed from my record. So I think that's what's happening here, is that people are truly distressed that they got a notice when they thought they were moving along in the right direction. So that would be my comment on that.
Okay. One last comment, I think, from Bruce.
I only wanted to say thank you to Michael for jumping in.
Okay. So, John, I think you have captured the information. And at this stage, where do you want to go with the rest of your items?
I think that's the last item for the day. We are on borrowed time, too, in this room, I believe.
Correct.
So it's time to close the meeting for the day.
So,
unless there's
just
other
for
questions
the good of the order, do you have anything in here that you want to pick up again tomorrow?
With respect to the enforcement report, I would say if there's any questions, have them now or forever silent.
Okay, I just want to officially close this item, too.
Yeah, I actually had prepared information, but we're out of time. So.
All right, so it is 5:35 p.m., and this closes our meeting of February 8th, 2018. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Abby.
Thank you.
You bet.